I don't know all of you anymore. Different group. In case you don't know who I am, Ed Kirkpatrick, and I was a minister for the Indian Springs Church back in the 1980s, and I think 1 year into the 90s. And I am currently an old retired guy. However, I work 4 days a week. So I did retire, and I had a plan of working a couple of half days in a doctor's office, and did that for a while. And this past year, my old employer called me and asked me if I would come in and help them do assessments for a couple of days a week. So actually, he asked me 1 day, and I agreed to that, and it turned into 2 days. And so I'm about ready to retire again. I do have, most of you who know me, know I had this young son who, when he was around here, was a little knee-high guy. He's now a 6'1", 218-pound, very muscular running back for Olivet Nazarene University, and doing really well. He's enjoying school, and he's actually in a nursing program. I'd be afraid if this nurse came in my hospital room, but we'll see how he does. He loves school, and he's really doing well. So, Adam, when he called me, left me this really detailed message that said, could you come and talk about fellowship? So he didn't give me any parameters, so you guys are in real trouble today, okay? When I started thinking about fellowship, I've worked the last 20-some years in the mental health field. I am a licensed professional counselor. I'm a licensed independent chemical dependency counselor with clinical supervision capabilities. So I work with people all the time, and one of the things when I think about fellowship is that I think that we don't know the concept, okay? Just like a lot of the people that I work with don't have a concept of what's going on around them. So what I'd like to share with you today is that fellowship is probably beyond a fellowship meal. You know, we work hard in churches to come up with fellowship ideas. You know, we need to have more fellowship. And what that kind of ends up being is a definition in our minds that fellowship is eating together. Fellowship is doing some activity together. We kind of view it in a mechanical thing, which to me is one of the problems in the churches of Christ. We're very mechanical. We like lists. Give me the list and I'll do it and I can check it off, you know. And so we have our list, you know, and on our list is fellowship. We got to have that. And so we find ways that we can check it off. We have a fellowship dinner. We have the fellowship at Christmas time. We have the fellowship, you know, it's a list that we can do. And I'd like you to think broader than that. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. When we are born into the family of God through Jesus Christ, that's what we are born into, is a family. Now, recently, I've had the experience of looking at my family and thinking a lot about family. My 92-year-old mother passed away January the 8th. And we've been, I'm going to this afternoon. I apologize for not wearing a suit, but I never do. I'm going this afternoon to finish emptying out my mother's 92 years of collections with the third dumpster. we just to focus on family has been rather interesting. Because even though we all live separate lives now, I have two older brothers. And one of them lives in California, one of them lives in near the area where I live, up around Mount Gilead, Ohio. And I live in Upper Sandusky, Ohio. But we've all had our separate lives and gone our different ways. But when the last living relative that we are all connected to passes away, you suddenly get back together, and it's amazing that all of the bonds that were there when we were little guys growing up together are still there. We're trying to solve a mystery, by the way. In one of my mom's drawers that we were emptying, there was a little packet, little paper packet, and in it, it had baby bracelets from the hospitals back in the day when they did those. I don't know if you've ever seen them, little beaded things on a string. Found mine. I have it at home now. My brothers both found theirs, and they're all blue and white with Kirkpatrick, you know, spelled out with the letters. And then we found a pink one. No name attached to it, just a pink bracelet from the hospital. So we're all looking at each other thinking, sister? Do we have a sister somewhere? We don't know. It's a mystery. Because my mom never, ever suggested that maybe there had been a stillbirth or anything in the family. We're searching records now to see if that's a possibility. But just interesting, you know, suddenly the definition of the family is a little different for all three of us. Well, I want you to think about what makes a family for a second. What defines a family? You know, I remember sitting in a class at Abilene Christian University one summer. I would drive down there and go to the Marriage and Family Institute. And I remember Paul Faulkner, talking about family. And he was talking about boundaries. And so when you think about a family, think about a big circle. Only in that, instead of a straight line, you know, connected line circle, it has little dashes that make up the circle. The family is actually a biosocial open system. Does that make any sense, anyone? We're biologically related, we are socially related, and it's a system that's sort of hard to find when you first think about it, but all of us can go in and out of that system because there are openings. So it's a biosocial open system. But what are those lines? What are those lines? What defines who's in that system? You know, you got a mother, a father, some kids, maybe some adopted kids. You got, you know, all sorts of things that are in that definition of that you think of as family. But what makes up that family are things that no one ever talks about, no one ever sets down and says, now this is what our family is. But it's amazing, isn't it? You can go in and out of that family and, you know, you're out there in the world doing your own thing, but family always has this protectiveness characteristic, doesn't it? And when my brothers and I were back together recently, it was like, yeah. Just like the old days when we thought we could do anything, you know, including blowing the neighbor's trees out of the ground with M60s. You know, we had a neighbor at once that we got in a lot of trouble for this, by the way, but they planted pine trees to kind of line the yards, you know, they were defining the yards. And we weren't thinking about the line, the division or anything, but we just thought, those little pine trees, I'll bet we could blow one of those out of the ground. And so we made a long fuse, and we had a great susplosion. You know, little trees just popped out of the ground. I'll remember the punishment that existed in my family that day. One of the rules is that you act like civilized human beings and you don't blow things up in the neighborhood. But that's what those lines are that define. They are rules and expectations. But they happen naturally. You know, my grandmother didn't sit down with my mother and say, here's how you make a family. These are the rules. They just sort of get passed along, don't they? And every family's a little bit different, has different rules, different expectations. I not only grew up with a pretty strict mother, but my father was literally an Army drill sergeant and fought in World War II, was at Normandy. He was a tough guy, a really tough guy. And when he said, here's the rule, you know, we didn't think of it in terms of, well, that's what our family's like, but we knew the rule. Now, we had some definitive things that I now look back and think, well, yeah, that was what the family was like that I grew up with. So think about this in terms of, making a little analogy here, think about this in terms of, at some point in my life, I recognize a spiritual need. And I come to know Christ. I believe, and this is fundamental, by the way, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. I believe that His sacrifice made it possible for the remission of my sins. I believe that He was crucified. I believe that He was buried in a tomb, and I believe that He was raised from the dead. That's a fundamental belief that I have, and I believe that when I was baptized into Christ, that I was raised to a new life, and that I was added as a son or daughter of God. Family. Family. Out of an act of love, you were born physically, out of an act of love, you were born into a spiritual family. Now, I want to tell you that when I got back together with my brothers, we didn't have to decide, sit down and say, you know, we're family, we probably ought to go eat together. Right? We better get that off the checklist because we're family. We're supposed to eat together. We have meals together. And we're family, so we probably ought to sit down and talk and get caught up on each other's lives. We get that off our checklist. You think we did that? Now, what do you think happened when we got back together? We talked. We ate together. We laughed together. We told stories about our family, and we supported one another. We prayed for my middle brother, who, by the way, I would request you to pray for my brother Randy. He's the middle of the three of us. He has been given 0 to 12 months to live. His heart... He has congestive heart failure. His heart is functioning at 20% right now. He is not going to make it through this year, according to the doctors. So pray for him and his family, if you would. But we were together. You know, you ever watch Forrest Gump, sort of like peas and carrots? Forrest and Jenny, you know, that's kind of what it was like. We got back together, and it was just the same. And lo and behold, that getting back together, you know, I get regular phone calls from my older brother in California now, and, you know, we're checking in with each other. And the rules of the family, you know, we're just kind of reestablished in our minds. So Christian family, right? What defines our family? What defines fellowship? I think you're going to find in a little passage you had read to you, Philippians chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Does that sound like fellowship? It does to me. Does that sound like family being together? It does to me. Being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love. You know, I can remember as a little boy when my brothers weren't torturing me, I found a lot of comfort in having two older brothers. When I was out in the neighborhood, I knew they would protect me because down deep there was this family love that one of the rules of our family was you protect one another. No one wrote it down. We didn't have to follow it and check it off. It was just natural. So here we are, united in Christ, right? We have any comfort from being united with Christ, or any encouragement for being united with Christ, comfort from His love, fellowship with the Spirit, tenderness and compassion. If you feel any tenderness and compassion, what do you feel for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Hopefully some tenderness and compassion. Why? Because you're family. Because you're family. Paul says then, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and in purpose. Then he gives you some rules. Okay? That's the characteristic of the family. That's how it feels in the family, right? Here's how you do it. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. There's a rule. It begins to define us. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. You know where I think that came from? Maybe why God wanted us to understand that that was not the thing. I think it came from the Pharisees. Because they did everything out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. And we've been, in our little group that meets together up in Upper Sandusky, we've been doing a study of the harmony of the Gospels. And looking at the story of Jesus chronologically from all the gospel writers and what went on. The one thing that we have come to a conclusion is the Pharisees were just a arrogant bunch of people who thought they knew everything. And they made Jesus' ministry miserable. They were constantly after Him. Constantly, if they weren't confronting Him directly, in the background talking. And Jesus was nice to them until near the end of His life when He knew He couldn't be. When His ministry was coming to an end. And then you get Matthew 23. You hypocrites. You whited sepulchres. You know, all the stuff He lists. Selfish ambition and vain conceit. But that's just an opinion. And that's one thing that we can't have, a rule in the family of God is we don't do anything out of selfish ambition and vain conceit. Instead, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own business, but also to the interests of others. Selfish ambition, vain conceit, no. But look to the interests of others. You know, when Jesus was questioned once about what are the greatest commands, he said there were two. Right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I think you guys have them posted out here somewhere, or written on the wall or something. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then he said, all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. That sound anything to you like no selfish ambition and vain conceit? Recognize who God is. Recognize who the Father is. You're not in the family to promote you. Honor the Father. Love Him. And you're not in the family just to take care of yourself or to be taken care of. You are in the family to take care of your brothers and sisters. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I didn't make that up. It says it here. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. And what was that attitude? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. I have to have that attitude toward my brothers and sisters in Christ, as imperfect people that I have to deal with in my family. Oh, no. Right? But then if you think about it, I want a show of hands. How many of you are perfect? How many of you have made a mistake? How many of you have made lots of mistakes? How many of you can stand to live with yourself? And how many of you fellowship yourself every day? I have long conversations with myself sometimes. Well, me and the straight and our barn cat, and we talk. I sometimes use her as my therapist. She doesn't have a lot of advice to offer, but generally she'll come up and jump on my leg and claw me, which lets me know, yes, I heard you. Okay, but. So maybe I am capable of accepting people who I know are not perfect, because I know I am not perfect. 1 John 1, you know what walking in the light is in 1 John 1? We walk in the light as he is in the light. What is walking in the light? We acknowledge our sins. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's walking in the light. We're all walking in the light of Jesus Christ, right? And what we know about ourselves in comparison with Christ is, I'm not close. I might try to get closer, and I'll spend every day of my life trying to get closer, but I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm imperfect. So maybe it shouldn't be so hard viewing myself as imperfect and knowing that all of us are imperfect, and yet God has adopted us into his family and refers to us because of our older brother, Jesus Christ. God refers to us as his children. I love a little passage in Romans chapter 8 where Paul talks about, you know, it started in Romans 7 where he talks about, I'm imperfect. I try to do what's right, I don't do it. I know what's wrong and I do it. And he says, what a wretched man I am. Who can save me from this body of sin and death? And the answer is, thank God for Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to talk about that relationship, about being spiritual minded. And he talks about the Father and he says, through Jesus, we can call God, our Father, Abba, Father. Abba. You know what that means? Daddy. One of the things that kind of defines family, right? That feeling of security, knowing that I'm inside these protective rules, knowing what my father and mother are like, knowing the consistency that's there, the safety of going home after being out in the world that's not so nice to me sometimes. And after making my own mistakes, I still can come home, and because I wrecked the car or whatever, you know, my dad never said to me, you are no longer my son. Get out the door. Instead, it was more like, Dad, I wrecked the car. And it was more, oh boy, okay, where's it at? Let's go get it. We're still family. We got to do this together. That's what God's like. Still family. I remember one time, my oldest child is my daughter, Lori, and I remember I got my very first new car. Living in Columbus, I bought a brand new Chevy Beretta. At the same time, Lori was getting her driver's license. You know where this is going, right? Well, 1 week after having a new car, Lori takes out down Ulry Road to drive the new car with her little brother, Kent, intact. And about 5 minutes later, Kent comes running up to the door and says, we're in the ditch. And I think he said, your daughter cannot drive. You know? Oh, we go down the road, get that in. There's a nice dent all the way down from front to back in the Chevy Beretta. You know, car was okay, it still could run and everything, but it didn't look like a new car anymore. So I sat Lori down and I said, Lori, I'm sorry, but you've made a terrible mistake. This is unacceptable in this family. We do not wreck new cars, so you're going to have to pack your bags and get out the door. I cannot fellowship you any longer. Right? No. No, I have my arm around her. Are you okay? Did you get hurt? You did have your seatbelt on, right? Yeah. We talked it through. Car got fixed. It wasn't a big deal. We're still family. Right? So, Get the idea? When you talk about fellowship, it's living together. You're God's family. Live together like family would live together. Some of you are going to make mistakes. Some of you are going to have bad things happen. You don't have to schedule the fellowship, is what I'm telling you. It will happen if you act like family. If you have the same attitude of Jesus Christ, who was willing to die for every one of us, to make us family, and knows our weakness, and stands before the Father as the perfect high priest, according to the book of Hebrews, and advocates for us on a daily basis. Probably a minute-by-minute basis in my case, and in Bill Dameron's case, and in Val's case, and in Randy's case, and in John's case. We all know, right? That Jesus is there, our older brother, telling the Father, hey, I know what it's like. I lived in the flesh. It's difficult. It's difficult to be perfect. So, I'm going to shut up. I've probably gone past where I'm supposed to anyway. But think about it. Rather than have to come up with creative ideas for fellowship, just take care of one another. Be involved. Know what's going on with your brother. Look, what was the rule? Look to the needs of others. You can always go back to Philippians 2, those first five verses are a perfect description of what fellowship in the family of God ought to be like. And if we just humble ourselves, not pursue vain conceit, and you know, I want to be recognized, right? I have to be special in the family. You know, my oldest brother, let me share this with you. He was the favorite in the family. We all knew it. We still know it. Of course, mom and dad are now gone, but he knows it too. It's one of the reasons that he's told the two younger brothers, I left and made sure I got out of Ohio. His first job, he went to Houston, Texas to work for NASA, and then went to Silicon Valley, and he's an electrical engineer, was one of the first people who worked with microchips, actually, and development of microchips. And he went to Silicon Valley, made a fortune, and stayed there. But the reason he left Ohio to begin with was that he could not stand being the favorite in the family. He was so tired of it, you know. It was an interesting thing when we would meet with relatives. My mother would say, this is our son Billy, and we were so happy. And he hates the name Billy. He goes by Jim now, so I call him Jim Bill now. But you know, he's done so much, and he's wonderful and everything. And then there's Randy, my middle brother, and he came along this, and then we never thought about having Eddie. You know, and they named me Eddie. You know, of all things, I hate the name Eddie. I go by Ed. Every time I've bought a house or a car and I have to use my full name, every time, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not overgeneralizing, every time when I say Eddie, you know, they want your full name, and I put Eddie, they'll say Edward, Edwin, Edgar. No, Eddie. Okay? Going through it every time. Buying a house was the worst. I even had a person tell me, well, we can't put Eddie on there. Yes, you can, because that's my full name. You know, I'll go get my birth certificate if you like, but there, you know, there it is. But anyhow, family, none of us any higher than any others, just brothers and sisters with an older brother who takes care of all of us. Enjoy the fellowship. Enjoy the fellowship. I don't know. You guys offer invitations anymore? Because we don't. Good. I would just tell you that if you have spiritual needs, let someone here know. They'll be glad to help you. But I've enjoyed being here today. I thank whoever decided to ask me to come, Adam, elders, whoever. I appreciate it. I'm sorry my wife could not be here with us today. She woke up ill this morning. She was planning to be here, looking forward to it. And I was so happy that she was going to be with me to clean today at my mom's house. But, convenient illness, I guess. But we're still family. So, thank you for the opportunity. God bless you all. Enjoy your fellowship.